Hey everybody, welcome to this new episode of Three Dudes Talking on ProWrestlingPonderings.com. I'm Kevin Ford. Before we get into this episode of the podcast, I wanted to give a disclaimer, touch upon a few things. The disclaimer is that Matt Waters, he's one of the hosts, along with myself and Justin Houston, were on this show just talking, as three dudes do, and there were some technical snafus, mostly it seemed from Matt's side, where there'd be some lags in the conversation, leading to maybe some people talking over each other. I cleaned up the audio as best I could, but if you notice a few weird things here and there, that's what was going on. The conversation abruptly ends because at one point Matt Waters' internet or something just shut down and then he left the conversation, so there is no wrap-up portion to the podcast. And I'm not going to add one on. I'm just going to get everything done here in the intro. So the podcast will have a music exit, but there won't be a typical outro to your podcast. So that's what was going on there. We talk a lot about comics and movies and video games. Actually, I don't know if video games are brought up, but wrestling is. So if you're a wrestling fan, there's certainly some stuff to listen to here. And I listened to it, and I enjoyed it. It had been about a week or two since we recorded this, so we actually talk a little bit about Wonder Woman in the Superman and Batman film that's coming out in 2015, and at this time they had not announced anything about Wonder Woman, so that's why we don't go into super lengthy discussion about that. Yeah, I guess I'll just fill people in what's going on for podcasts with me for the rest of the month, since there was not a fan-to-fan last week, and this is in lieu of a fan-to-fan this week. Next week, there may be a fan-to-fan, but most likely there's going to be an episode of the Cool Kids Table, since Final Gate is just around the corner. So I think myself, Brad Garoon, and Alan are going to sit down and talk about that. Hopefully we can get all of us together in a timely manner. But there might be that and a fan-to-fan next week. If not, certainly the week of Christmas, there will 100% be an episode. Just to fill you in, I did an episode with Ricky Shane Page recently. That is in the books. That's already been recorded. That's going to be released sometime around when AIW's Dead Presidents is going to happen. Phil Colvin and I, AIW announcer, we've been trying to get together to do an episode, so hopefully he will be in one of those 2 weeks. And then I'm trying to get Joe Gagne from Joe Gagne's Funtime Pro Wrestling Arcade YouTube show to be the first guest of 2014. So hopefully he and I will get together and record something soon. So that's what's going on here. I'll get some plugs out of the way since there's nothing at the end. Follow me on Twitter at KFord13. Follow Matt on Twitter at Matt C. Waters. Follow Justin on Twitter at Justin J. Houston. And of course, if you're not following Pro Wrestling Ponderings on Twitter, you can do so at PW Ponderings. Yeah, for podcast, again, be sure you're listening to Fan comes out on Fridays. New guest every week. It's fun times. We talk about wrestling and their fandom, obviously. Make sure you listen to Chris GST's and Des Delgadillo's Indie News Report on Wednesdays. It usually comes out. And, of course, Kevin Harvey Schools In podcast, which comes out on Mondays. So, yeah, I guess that's it for me. Enjoy 3DT, and we'll talk to you later on.
Late-ass nights come from long days, doing all the right things in the wrong ways, doing all the wrong shit for the right reasons, sprinkling midnight game, call it night seasoning. Haters get salty, give them cholesterol, Trill OG, mop up the floor with the best of y'all. They dry that bitch off with the rest of y'all, and catch a flight to Rio de Janeiro for La Festival. Yeah, and it's word to fit a party.
And that's how you kill a conversation, fellas.
Or begin one.
Well, begin one.
Matt, have you, did you listen, I'll start that sentence over. Did you see that Childish Gambino leaked his new album?
I saw that he had done it. I have not heard it.
Okay, yeah, I listened to it today and I was, not impressed.
Okay, you didn't like his EP though either, did you, earlier this year?
American Royalty?
Yeah.
I really liked American Royalty.
Oh, okay, I thought you didn't like it at first.
No, I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. And then this one I was probably he put out a single, I think, earlier this year called, a month ago, called, 3005. Uh-huh. That's still, the best song on the CD.
Yeah, that was the same with American Royalty, though. He released two of the songs way in advance, and they ended up being the best two.
Which two?
We Ain't Them and the other one. I don't remember.
We Ain't Them is pretty good.
It is pretty good.
I do Rest in Peace because it samples that sweet song from Drive.
Oh, the, what's his name? This is bothering me now.
There were a lot of good songs in Drive.
It's like the one like the opening credits.
All the rappers use it. Lupe Fiasco did a version of it. It was really good. Kavinsky does that. That beat, Kavinsky. That means nothing. Okay, that's fine. I know the one you mean.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's like my. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I also like Bronchitis because it's really weird.
Yeah.
Kavinsky Night Call, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look
up. I was definitely not looking it up on Google as we were speaking.
Okay. After this is over, try and find Lupe Fiasco, American Terrorist 3. That's a very good song.
Why is there three American Terrorists?
There's one. He did a song called American Terrorist, and then he released this, American Terrorist 3. There is no American Terrorist 2. He's just like that.
Rap ears are weird.
Yeah. 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 Like a Kanye West on a motorbike. Crazy right. Motherfucker.
I have not seen that video or the James Franco parody.
Oh, dude. Watch the parody first, and then you won't believe that it's so accurate.
Like how? Yeah, I've heard it's like shot for shot.
It is. I think they use different stock footage, but it's sort of like the same. It's like, horses galloping through a river.
I was watching today's Epic Rap Battles of History, and someone suggested they do Kanye and Kim versus Seth Rogen and James Franco. Oh, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
Do either of you watch Epic Rap Battles of History?
I'm not caught up with this most recent one. I actually only found out that they were back again because of Key and Peele.
Yes, they did a recent one with Martin Luther King and Gandhi, but they also did today's, which is Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali.
Literally today's is what I found out. I found that they were doing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, man.
The Key and Peele is great. I'm glad you and some other people turned me on to that because I've really been enjoying what I've seen.
Yeah, this whole season's been tremendous. And it's great because it's already up for next season, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think it was one day I was on like a Hulu Plus waiting for probably like the new NXT to be up. And I was like, well, let's kill some time. And I think it was like the week or like maybe even like the day before the season 3 premiere. And they had like a best of season 1 and 2. So I just watched that and I liked it. And so I watched this whole season. And it's been really, really good.
Yeah.
And then I listened to their episode of WTF with Marc Maron. And I really like them just as people. So that always helps. So Thor 2. We saw
Thor
that.
Thor 2. Yeah, I saw it before you guys.
Well, because you're an a-hole who lives in our country.
Suck it, America.
There's got to be like some perks to living in England.
Right.
There has to be something. I mean, that's the bone that you get thrown.
respect, dignity.
I certainly have both of those things.
I'm hearing a lot of overrated terms used right now.
Better elocution.
Well, I reckon you and your fancy words.
I wakes up, I eats my bacon, I raises my flag, I tell other peoples about my freedoms, even though they ain't really bothered about it. And then I pray to Jesus and I watch the football.
You shut up about bacon.
I do not raise a flag.
It's already raised when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, the flag never drops.
What is it about your freedom that you feel you're like freer than other places? Because you know, like 2/3 of the world are free, right?
Well, it's the idea is that we're the master freedoms. We're like,
okay.
You know how when there's a disease, you can like trace it back to the source, or like maybe like the strongest carrier. We're like the strongest carrier of the disease known as freedom.
Sorry, Bray Wyatt.
We spread it the most around.
I didn't realize you were around.
Yeah. No, if you got to look at me now, my hair is like shoulder length. The beard's gone crazy.
You do have the beard, yeah.
So it's
We also have to remind that darned Obama in office that we have our freedoms.
Yeah.
It's true. Oh, no. Yeah. I send him a stern letter every morning.
Yeah.
As I gaze at my flag.
I don't know if I already mentioned this, but have you guys seen that? It was like a comic strip of what Breaking Bad would be like in the UK or any other country that has free healthcare.
No.
It's like, Walter White, you have cancer. He's like, oh, no. But luckily, we're going to pay for that, so it's still fine. And then he's just cured, and that's the end.
End of show. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man. What that has to do with Thor 2, I have no idea.
I was going to make a British television saying that, you know, great series like that couldn't exist, you know, in the UK. But then I remembered Sherlock's coming back for the first year. Threw that out immediately.
Also, Monty Python's Flying Circus is amazing. So, and Monty Python's apparently coming back.
Yeah, that's a money grab for you. Sold out in like 16 seconds or some bullshit like that. That's
insane. You know what? If Billy Joel can announce that he's doing a show at Madison Square Garden every week until eternity, then the Monty Python can do some live shows too.
Is MSG the new Vegas? Do they just have a permanent residence act now? Or?
Well, it just happens.
Until they destroy it.
Well, I think he lives on like Staten Island, so he can basically just drive to the venue and drive home in a day or a night, rather.
They don't let him drive.
I like the idea of.
He is driven.
I like the idea of Billy Joel just getting up out of bed, driving down to the arena, setting up his own show, playing, taking it all down, driving back.
And kudos to him for not making a new song in 20 years and still being able to do that.
Yeah, fair.
Didn't he plow through a house in a car?
Yeah, probably.
That man's not allowed to drive anymore. He, like I said, he's driven. He does not get up and drive anywhere.
He hires Ryan Gosling to drive for him to that Kavinsky song. Am I right?
You're so right. I'm really glad that you did not make a tasteless Paul Walker joke right there. I thought it was coming.
Me?
No, for Matt. I thought it was coming when he said no. He wakes up and gets. I was like, please don't say it. Please don't say it. Please don't. Oh, man.
So, thoughts too.
Look, it sucks that Paul Walker's dead. But here's the thing. I don't understand. I'm seeing a word attributed to him that is silly. Okay? It sucks that a human being is dead. And apparently he was a humanitarian and all sorts of shit. Listen. Varsity Blues is a great film. He was funny in Pleasantville. He was terrible in everything else. The word.
Is he in Varsity Blues?
Yeah. He was. He was the original quarterback whose leg like flew off.
Oh yeah.
The word is legend, and that's crazy.
I think I saw like the first two Fast and Furious movies. I heard Fast 5 was really good.
Aren't these movies now kind of like good in spite of themselves? Like. They were a joke, but then people liked laughing at them so much that everyone paid to go see the newest ones, plus The Rock was in them.
I don't know. I have not seen any of them.
Because
I swear like,
the people
are like, Fast 5 is legitimately good, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
None of them were bad,
like, but there's so many bad people in them.
Tyrese.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of really lousy acting that goes into these films. And I'm not even talking about Vin Diesel. I like Vin Diesel just fine. He does his
shtick Groot.
Very well.
I am Groot?
There's a lot of really bad performances in these movies, and that's what really made it. Not only just the cars and that nonsense, but just the people saying the words not so good.
Yeah.
Not legends. Which is
not legends. I am not legend. I am Groot. I am not legend.
This is so important to me.
Kevin, you have not.
On my tombstone, it's going to say, was not a legend.
Well, then.
What about me saying I am Groot?
Sorry, you haven't tweeted it every single day like you said you would.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
I was going to steal that from you, but I thought, nah.
Okay. So if I can figure out, because there's a way to like, you know,
automatically tweet.
Yeah, exactly. If I can do that, I will set it up starting January 1st until August 1st. Every day, I am Groot tweet will be sent out.
I like it. It's a good commitment.
I want to see how many followers I will lose.
Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, there was a tease at the end of Thor 2, which we've all seen.
That's right. And you know what? If you haven't seen it, too bad. We're going to spoil the hell out of it for you.
Damn fucking right we are. So Loki,
you can't leave. You're stuck listening to us. So.
Well, should we talk about the scene at the end first, since it's a natural segue?
I suppose. I was just desperately clinging to our segueing back.
I had the biggest fangirl squeal at the end of that scene. Oh yeah, man. The collector. Benicio del Toro is the collector.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
The Infinity Gauntlet. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. I'm excited.
What's cool is that it's not upcoming. So you can sort of, when you see that scene, you can immediately, like right after it went, well, this is going to be a fascinating 10 years because it's going to take forever to get to that point. But it is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Gem per Marvel film for the next... how many is that now? Two of the six?
See, you don't think it's going to be part... Well, I guess not. If it's Age of Ultron, I guess it won't be part of Avengers 2.
Nope. It'll probably be part of Guardians of the Galaxy. They'll probably have a third one, and then they'll try and get it from them or something.
Fair enough.
Because I've heard the plot is they have something that everyone wants without realizing it or something.
How about it?
It's Zoe Saldana. Everyone wants her. No one realizes.
Oh, well, I think I realized that when I saw
something. Yeah, I realized that too. Zachary Quinto. Anyway.
Him?
Yeah, who does? So Thor 2, did everyone like it? I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I thought it was a lot better than the first one.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is I watched the first one again right before it, and I had a much better. I liked it way more the most recent time I watched it than any other of the maybe two other times that I'd seen it.
Yeah, I definitely liked it more the second time I saw it than the first. But
yeah, I think because you have this idea of what it's going to be in your head, and when it's so far from it, it's kind of jarring, and you're waiting to get to that stuff. But this was a good marriage between the comedy of, you know, the Asgard that we know and wanted to see explored more, and the comedy that made the first one as fun as it was. I thought it was awesome. I thought I was surprised with where we ended, where we were left off, because you know of the major Thor stories, this sets up literally none of them. So
Loki on the throne, kind of.
I don't know any Loki on the throne stories that don't involve his brother and trying to bring about Ragnarok, which you need the brother who doesn't exist in canon right now.
Yeah, they have not put Baldur in, have they? I don't know. I just... Basically, people really, really like Tom Hiddleston, and they were threatening to sort of not put him in the films anymore. And then they realized that's stupid.
Right.
So they found a way to keep him going. I doubt he'll be any of the... he'll just be in the Thor films now. I don't think he'll be in Avengers 2 or 3, but that's fine.
Yeah, you don't want to oversaturate people.
Yeah, I think he did a really, really good job in this. Like, you know, where he's sitting in the cell and he's all dignified and melancholy, and then his illusion cuts and he's like decrepit and sitting in the corner and he's so angry and everything. That's really good.
Speaking of illusions, best Captain America cameo ever.
Yup, that was so fun.
I appreciate them bringing him in just to do that like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But it was great, really it was worthwhile. The theater really popped for it.
They managed to keep all of that kind of stuff under wraps. Like, it was always a genuine surprise when they do those.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I heard about that like a year ago and I'd forgotten about it.
Of course, yeah.
You know, that's really the best when that happens.
Because then you're like, oh yeah, right, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed it too. I thought it was a nice follow up to Avengers and all that.
Yeah, and Iron Man 3 kind of
hit all the
using
beats.
Avengers to I liked Idris Elba in it a lot. I like that he got an expanded role. And then I watched Pacific Rim shortly afterwards for the first time. So I love that man.
What about Kurgan?
What about Kurgan?
He was in Pacific Rim.
Was it? Oh my God, that's Kurgan. Okay, yeah. All right, I'm with you.
All right, good.
It's like I knew that in my mind, and you just unlocked the knowledge within me.
It's like, what about Kurgan? Everything. Everything about Kurgan.
Sherlock Holmes, the first film?
Yeah, he was in that too, I think.
Yeah, there you go. See, we're just... Justin, do you have any secret Kurgan cameos you'd like to bring to the table?
Who?
Kurgan.
From WWE, Attitude Era, Truth Commission.
The Claw.
The Oddities.
Wrestling.
Can't help you here. I have no idea.
He was in he was in 300.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm out of Kurgan movies.
Do you remember the first? Do you remember the first Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr.?
I mean, the only Kurgan I know is the villain in Highlander. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Different Kurgan. Wow.
Call yourself a wrestling fan.
Yeah, jeez, Justin.
Yeah, like, I don't know Kurgan.
You pull all this knowledge from nowhere, but you don't know Kurgan.
Yeah, you tell us all about the Speed of Sound tag team in Japan, but when it comes to Kurgan, nothing.
Me and Kevin are in a club right now, and you're not in it.
The Kurgan Club.
Yeah.
The Kurgan Knowledge Club, the KKK. Oh, gosh. Speaking of superhero movies, I saw a funny webcomic that reminded me of DC Stupidity, which I feel needs to be brought up. You know, I guess the what's being kind of spread around the water cooler is that DC thinks that Wonder Woman is too confusing a story and people don't really like strong female leads. So I saw this online comic today that talked about that. And then, of course, like the middle picture talked about like not only the population of women in America or the world, really, but also how like, you know, we have the Hunger Games movie that just did like gangbusters with a really strong female lead.
Yep.
Like, give me a break. Like, well, I don't understand DC's point of view. Like that, like something like that doing so well should really put all of their worries to rest.
Yep. Well, so, I don't think they know how to do it without making it campy because that's stupid.
That's the other problem is, you know, there's a lot of people who really want a Wonder Woman movie and I wouldn't mind it either, but I'm like, you know, just because they're going to do a Wonder Woman movie doesn't mean it's going to be good or the way that you want a Wonder Woman movie to be. Because I know my friends who really want a Wonder Woman movie, they don't want, like, what I envision Zack Snyder would turn it into.
What a steaming pile of shit.
Right. And also, apparently they're going to try to shoehorn her into the Batman-Superman
movie. I heard that, yeah.
So it's like, who are you trying to satisfy with that movie? I don't even know.
Have we talked about the Baffleck Batman casting on a podcast?
I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I think he's a real good actor. I like that Matt Damon came out in his defense and was like, come on, guys, it's not exactly King Lear, it's Batman.
I didn't understand everyone getting all up in arms about it. Like, so what?
It's because Christian Bale has ruined Batman for a generation of people.
Well, it's not Ben Affleck's...
Yes.
It's not Ben Affleck's problem
I'm saying the opposite. I think people now have this image of what Batman is in their mind that is completely wrong based on Bale's interpretations. Like the shouty voice and all of that stuff. But that's not Batman in like any other medium.
I mean, literally, other than the voice, I can't think of anything that he got like intrinsically wrong about the character.
I think he made him far... Well, it's not him, but I think he's far too stupid in the Dark Knight trilogy. There's like very few instances where he displays world's greatest detective type stuff.
That's an argument that I have against, the series in general.
Yeah, I know it's his earlier career, but even so, he did just try and punch his way through everything.
That's certainly not Bale's. I mean, Bale wasn't like, can we change a chunk of the script so that I'm hunting down.
I'm not saying he personally ruined Batman, but his Batman has ruined what a lot of people perceive Batman to be.
It's also not Ben Affleck's fault that Christian Bale just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Why should he want to? He's done it three times. Like,
right.
What more?
Well, here's the thing. The thing with Affleck to me is that it's a fine choice if like 20 other guys said no. He's not a bad choice, but I can...
He's not the first person I would pick, no. But.
No. I mean, I can only imagine there was a lot of no's.
Know who I would pick. Someone said John Hamm would be a good Batman, but...
I think he's too old.
I think it's too on the nose. I think it's too... It's a little too... I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a couple different actors that I like. I mean, if you're going... They're going for an older Batman anyway. Because they want to just steal pieces of the best Batman stories and put it together like some weird Play-Doh creature. But
And I think they want, like, wily, experienced Batman getting the edge over young, arrogant Superman. That kind of thing.
Right.
Like, slow it down, rookie, all that kind of shit.
They apparently, like DC apparently, like, put copyrights on a bunch of different Superman movie titles that all sound terrible.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, those were pretty bad.
I was just like, oh my god, these all making me nauseous just reading these titles. Just call Just call it Batman vs. Superman and just be done
with it. Might as well now, that's what people are calling it.
Yeah.
You know that Batman is coming into Superman's world, and that this is not necessarily going to be a start of a new Batman franchise. That's the reason that they're wanting to kind of screw things up the way they are. In terms of Bruce Wayne's, for whatever reason, a name stuck in my head recently, and I don't even know if you know who the actor is. His name is S.I. Morales. He was on, like, NYPD Blue, and he's done, like, lots of bit things. But every time I see this guy, he's in his 50s, I just think, like, older Bruce Wayne. Like, he's always in suits. He's always has this really, like, calm demeanor, and something about his demeanor matched the way I envision Bruce Wayne, which is, funny enough, through Kevin Conroy's voice.
Oh, he's such a good Batman voice.
When I start thinking Batmans, I go, let's start with this voice, this feeling I get from this voice, and let's expound upon that. Nothing about Ben Affleck is in that territory. I don't think he'll be bad. I think there are a lot of way better ways to go. Yeah. Or just more interesting, more, you know, that aren't going to be... Every time I see him, I don't care what he looks like in the movie, I'm going to go, Ben Affleck! Ben Affleck in a bat suit, you know? There's no chance that I'm not going to go, well, there's Bruce Wayne.
Do you think he's, like, too big for the part?
I missed that. What was that?
Do you think he's, like, too big for the part?
There's too many... there's, like, certain actors, you get to a point, especially when you don't change your appearance heavily, or you can't change your appearance, Leonardo DiCaprio, where every time I see your face, I'm almost always struck by how much you are you, that I'm just... I can't escape from, like... Inception. I could not escape from that being Leonardo DiCaprio. I thought he was dog shit in that movie. And everyone else, I can kind of escape from. And I don't know until I see it if I'm going to be able to escape from that being Ben Affleck.
So you were watching Argo and you went, ah, it's the guy from Phantoms.
Definitely, that's what happened. Yeah. It's Daredevil.
He's the bomb in Phantoms, yeah. I had a smooth segue. It's gone. Never mind.
Well, other Bruce Waynes. Who else? Because we've talked about. I guess you guys were fine. You guys said you were fine with Ben Affleck. Did you have anyone else in mind?
It's fine. That's what I was saying. Like, but he wouldn't be my first choice. But I don't know who my first choice would be.
I'm not gonna see it, so I don't really give a shit.
Yeah. Well, I'll see it, but I won't.
No, I'm not gonna give. I gave Zack Snyder a chance. I shouldn't have, but I did. And I got burned completely and totally. So fuck off, Zack Snyder.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'll pay you to see it. Just I'll see it.
DC has kind of lucked out, though, in a sense that Marvel has really geared itself toward, like, fun, kind of lighter, broader films. Because now DC can just sort of... They can sort of go the Showtime route and just... and sort of kind of create grittier content if they want to, which it sounds like that's what they're doing. I read today that they're letting David Goyer, who's like the most hit and miss writer of all time. I mean, he's either soaring with the Eagles or he's down like in a ditch with all the dead people. Like every film is just one or the other. And
soaring with the Eagles.
Right. I don't know. He's going to be doing a bunch of properties, I guess, coming up, and they sound like they're going to be kind of grittier, more serious films. And if DC wants to gear yourself that way, they can do it.
It suits Batman, but I don't really think that suits Superman. Don't people like him for being so bombastic?
Yeah, I mean, I hated... what's it called? I hated Man of Steel because it was so...
We did a podcast about how much we hated it.
Yeah, it was bad, bad
stuff.
Go
listen to it.
A lot of other people, you know, they made a lot of money. So people
disagree. But it's because it's got Superman in the title. Well, not in the title, but, you know.
It was like a Superman movie.
Yeah, they are guaranteeing themselves an audience if it has Batman or Superman in it. Good, bad, or otherwise.
But don't you sort of have to, if they made it lighter and, I dare I say, cheaper, in a sense that it's not just this thing where everything blows up, do you run the risk of not meeting expectations of, you know, of an audience that just wants to see things blown up?
Well, yeah, but they can just go see fucking Transformers or something else.
Yeah. They'll see stuff blow up whether they want to or not.
Like, it's not like every superhero movie has things like blowing up. Like, I don't, when I think of, like, The Dark Knight, I don't think of, like, all the explosions and stuff it had. I think Superman would have been just fine being, like, you know, a fun comic book movie.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it's going to be, you know, it would be a great movie. It's just, I wonder if that's their fear, is that the expectation is we're going to blow shit up. If we don't, if we make a, you know, a quiet film about this, you know, this guy who does heroic things all the time in an age where everyone is so jaded and so they can shrug off heroism with such ease. Oh. How does he exist? How does he inspire people?
See, like, when I'm thinking in my head, like, what comic movie out there should have this, should Superman try to, like, capture the vibe of? I think of something like Spider-Man. I think Superman should have the kind of vibe that he does. Like, there's still a little bit of tongue-in-cheek humor here and there, and there's obviously some drama and a little bit of romance and everything, but it's not heavy. It's still fun and lightweight, and it can still exist inside of that universe.
But, yeah.
Do you disagree, Matt?
I don't know. I was about to, then I disagreed with myself internally, so I stopped.
Like, don't get me wrong. Forget like the differences between the characters of Spider-Man and Superman. I just mean the overall like aesthetic and feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I was just gonna say like the character of Peter Parker lends itself to that because the reason he's such a popular hero is because while Spider-Man is this all-conquering hero, like he is always constantly self-doubting and he's just a normal dude and in his everyday life he's, you know, a dweeb and all this, so it kind of lends itself to those films being
lighthearted. He's as popular as he is because he enjoys himself, because he has fun.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
In the moments when there's six enemies that have been paid off to just wipe him off the face of the earth, and he's still smiling and joking and trying to get under their skin. And that's what I think that's an advantage Superman has, is that you have to sort of give the character, is that there can be humor in his humorlessness. That's even a possibility.
But you have to grasp stuff.
Right. Or just his sort of he's how naive he is, you know. I think that's there's a lot of opportunity to, again, really humanize him.
Right.
It's tougher to humanize Batman, but it's easy to sort of humanize, like, Bruce Wayne, in a sense.
Right.
But he's Batman most of the time. So, right. But with Superman, it's kind of, you feel like he's Superman most of the time, too. But that's easier to humanize anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm like, go back to the early Superman films. Like, most of the time when he's Clark Kent, that's very humanizing. And all the scenes he has with Lois Lane, taking her out on the date. And all that stuff, like that is, I think, what should have been. There should have been more of that in the Superman movie.
Any of it. There was one joke that stuck, and it was a joke about a printer, and it was pretty good.
Right. I can't even think about the Superman movie anymore. It makes me so mad. Yeah. It just makes me upset.
Speaking of Batman, have either of you played Batman Arkham Origins?
Nope.
I've
great
have
things, though.
Never played any of those games.
Oh my god!
And I'm told I'm a fool. I have many times.
Your life is now worthless.
Wow!
Nothing you achieve in your life means anything until you play these.
Sometimes, like, I got a buddy who loves them, and he's the one that hounds me for it. And we'll be talking, and I'll say something like, "I just wish there was a game with a detective element that had like a good close combat and was atmospheric." And I'll hear him start slamming things because it's like I say this all the time. And he's like, the whole Arkham series, he's like, I'll send you the game for free.
You're doing, You're doing like a bullet point list of its features.
Right. Like, it's like you're reading off the back of the game. And
the new
like,
one has like crime scenes, and you like rewind and look for evidence and forensics to piece together how the crime happened, and then you go beat the shit out of 40 dudes, and then you hide in the alleys, and yeah, it's awesome.
It sounds amazing. I was just gonna say, the new for whatever one. Reason, he's like, you should play it, and I'm like, I don't know.
It's okay. Only everything I want in a game.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. What happens when you get everything you want? What would I want after that? You know?
Ask.
A tongue bath?
I get that.
Well, you asked.
Wow. Well, I live in a house of four cats. I can get that.
Do you really have four cats?
Oh, God, yes. I do.
That's
so
and I like cats, but I'm like, man, that sounds terrible.
The good news is that I found that four is the perfect number. We have two older cats and then two younger cats. So the older cats go off and like harass each other, and the younger cats harass each other. And then they get tired and they're all sleepy and adorable. So it works out pretty good.
Do you know what the actual perfect number of cats is?
No.
It's zero cats.
I was gonna say
I had a feeling.
Because you're an ass.
I'm a dog fan. I really am. Yeah. I'm not a cat guy, so it's taken some getting used to. But
cats are dicks. I don't know. They're just dicks that you let live in your house.
Cats are dicks if you're dicks to them. Like my dad's like, I was a kid, my cat was a jerk, and then I'm like, what did you do? He's like, well, we threw him off the porch every day, but I was like, no wonder why he was a dick to you. Like so I grew up with two cats, so obviously like that's what I know, and they were totally fine. They were cool with me. I was cool with them.
Oh man, I've got people I know who like love their cats desperately, try and smother them in affection, and they're like, no, fuck you, I'm going over here. But when I want to be cuddled, you will fucking drop what you are doing or get clawed.
See, that's the thing, is I can relate to that.
They're too independent. Okay.
Yeah, oh god forbid.
Yeah, nice.
What a criticism.
Good job. Yeah, a dog, they just feel guilt. That's the thing. Dogs feel guilt. Cats don't give a fuck. That's the problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, an introspective into Matt Waters' relationship with women via cats and dogs.
Yeah, I like women that feel guilty.
Yeah. I don't want to be independent.
You independent? Go away. Are you guilty? Hey. Yeah.
Speaks volumes.
Wow, you know. It does.
I thought there was something else I was going to bring up, but I forgot what it was. There was other topics we wanted to talk about, I thought. Was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. one of them?
Fictional character actress.
Like, I like the show, but I feel like it's missing depth. Like, I need something to sink my teeth into with that show. Like, this is the thing I find with Joss's shows, they kind of suck for a season. I'm not saying the show sucks, but it seems like it takes a season to find its footing. And kind of like lay the groundwork, and then it's like, oh, okay, we can get into this stuff. But like, I'm kind of tired of the one and done like villains of the show. Like, I'm ready for a longer narrative that goes along with episodes.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a lot like Joss's other shows because he'll do like a first season that's like minimal weirdness, and then when he's like, oh, we're still a show, maximum weirdness. And so it's like once the show kind of gets another season, they start taking even crazier risks. And I hope that's the case here. I hope that they finish the show and ABC goes, well, like what we see, you know, and they're like, all right, well, we're going to, you know, stuff's going to get weird now because stuff's got quick. Or just there's no point to the show, I guess, is the frustrating thing right now. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of hanging in the air. Like, I don't understand this team. Is this a misfit team that's supposed to distract Coulson while his brain gets better? Or is this like, it sounds like this is supposed to be a super team, and these, you know, I don't know, they're like social idiots, so I don't understand what the point of that is. And I think the best thing the show's done so far is like building kind of a background, like stuff going on in the background, stuff that's going to come to a head and be interesting in the future. Specifically, the stuff with May and Grant, where you found out they were banging, which was awesome. Because it's this little, and they never expound on it. It was this little thing, and then it just went away. So you know it's going to come back eventually.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Gray and Sky,
they need to do more.
They need to work on their acting a little bit.
Sky
who's,
is the worst.
Wait, who's Gray?
Or whatever the agent's name is who's banging the pilot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's not... There's a real wooden quality to... I mean, really, at this point, if Sky got sucked out of an airlock, would anyone care?
No.
I mean, I don't... Oh. I would not. I would not at all, which is a shame that that's your lead. She's just so whiny. And it's all... Honestly, I think it's like half of it's due to the acting because there are these lines where it's supposed to be this sort of like biting, pithy comment, but really it's just whining. It's just bitchiness. And that's so... It's just these like petty complaints. And there's never any punishment. There's never any comeuppance for her just like screwing around with one of the biggest organizations on the planet. She just sort of does whatever she wants to do and nothing ever comes from this. It's just because Coulson says it's okay. So I don't get it.
I just don't really care about the characters. Like, you just get, I don't know, there's these moments that are classic Joss Whedon funny dialogue and all that, and some of the plot is sometimes okay, but I just don't care about the characters at all, so I... Eh.
That's fair.
I mean, I would say, like Fitzsimmons, I really like the I like their duo. I like what's her name, Melinda May, and I like Coulson. I like those components, but again, I'm not super attached to any of this because it's all sort of it's just inconsequential. They're not doing anything that someone else, you know, wouldn't be doing.
But they have kind of this ordered 4 new TV shows and apparently a 5th.
Yes.
What's the 5th one?
They haven't said.
Wait, what? Oh, because I know that, you know, everyone really liked the Agent Carter one shot that they did where they kind of did a like a procedural thing with Peggy Carter. And I know a bunch of people, like the guy that plays Dum Dum Dugan really wants to play Dum Dum Dugan again. So if it was like Peggy Carter and the Howling Commandos, okay, yeah, I'll watch that.
Hacksaw Jim
Dugan? That'd be my guess as to where. No.
Sorry, I had to.
That'd be kind of weird.
Or awesome.
I had a moment today to sort of skew it toward wrestling briefly because I read a rumor that they're really trying to figure out a way for Hulk Hogan and John Cena to team up at WrestleMania 30.
Sure.
And I thought, that's the stupid – why in the world – that's how – and then it just popped into my head. It's only acceptable if they're going to do Cena and Hogan versus Punk and Piper. Those are the only terms I'd accept it.
What about the real Americans? For the right to use the song, American.
Okay, first of all right. So, because there are reasons for it was the very first WrestleMania main event had both guys in it, right?
Right.
And we would get Punk. They could even do Punk's Pit. There are things you could do there, and there are places you could go, and really it's just an excuse for two of the best talkers ever to be in the same ring, burying the two most annoying wrestlers ever, unrestrained. That's what I really want to see, and if they give me that, I will accept Hogan and Cena as like the new superpowers.
I would like to see that tag match as well. Those are my thoughts.
So would I.
I'm going to tweet about it because I'm going to stick in there. I'm going to get it in their heads now because that'd be amazing.
Speaking of the real Americans, it seems to me like Antonio Cesaro is going to be on his own as a babyface soon.
God, I hope so. needs to happen. The problem is, though, right now, there's a lot of baby faces. There's a lot of guys that are there's never been a better time, I think, that they could feel comfortable turning John Cena heel. They never will, but I'm saying in recent memory, I can't think of a better crop of guys that could kind of take over popularity-wise, at least on screen. No one can do what he does off screen. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's but that I think screen, is the bigger problem.
Yeah, there's so many like guys that you could bust out tomorrow and would start getting really big reactions if you got some momentum. They'll never – it's all going to be generated by the wrestlers themselves. The WWE doesn't know how to make – they don't know how to make, like, top guys and superstars. All they know how to do at this point is to, like, get out of the way. And they don't even always do that. Sometimes they still trip all over themselves. I'm not confident that Big E Langston isn't going to be another one of those cases. He's got all the pieces – to be their next big guy, and I think they're going to just screw it up.
Well, there's also the thing of where they just decide whether a guy's going to be a star or not. Like, I'm pretty sure they've decided, like, Dolph Ziggler's not a main event guy, and so that's it for him.
Well, not only do they do that, but they also – they'll pull the rug right out. They'll say, this is the guy, and then 2 weeks later they'll go, he is not the guy, and they'll stop. That's all there is to it. They'll end that sort of buzz and that push. I mean, look who we had months of Daniel Bryan at the top of the cards, the biggest reactions we've seen in wrestling in ages. And now he and Punk, the two most popular modern wrestlers, are wrestling in handicap matches on pay-per-view. That's so stupid.
Yes, it is.
Can we talk about how awesome Roman Reigns is doing, though? Also, yeah. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. Let's talk about how amazing Goldust is. Like, holy shit, that guy rules.
Hurricanrana,
yes,
man.
He does.
Never thought I'd see that. Wow.
Like, I'm still on my journey of rewatching all the old Rumbles. He's never been in better shape and never been a better wrestler than he is right now. I seriously can't believe it.
It's phenomenal. He's comeback wrestler of the year.
Oh yeah, there's not even like a close second.
No, there is.
Like, he's incredible. Good for you, Goldust.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they throw him the smallest bone to feed that other dumb storyline, and he fucking devours it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're not actually doing anything with Goldust. They had a good thing that the brothers themselves made into a great thing, and they just couldn't say no.
Yeah, in their mind, they bring Goldust in for 1 week, they get cheap pop from the crowd for nostalgia, and he's gone again. And he outworked Randy Orton.
Oh god, that match was so good. Like, like someone said this, and I thought about it, and it almost made me shudder a little bit. Just think about WWE in 2013 if you just completely delete the Shield from the equation.
Does not exist.
Like, how different of the landscape would it be without them?
They are a very large reason Daniel Bryan got so over.
Absolutely.
Because they just, when they can't think of anything, they say, right, the Shield versus fill-in name of wrestler for 35 minutes every single week.
Yeah,
these wrestlers now get the hell over.
It's got to be comforting for them to be like, let's just put the Shield in a 6-man tag and it's going to be great, like, no matter what.
Same with Bryan.
Yeah,
he had a good match
really
with
good
Eric Rowan, so...
Yeah, it's funny because my roommate and I were watching that, and he's like, man, is Eric Rowan getting better? And I'm like, no, he's not. He's wrestling Daniel Bryan. He's just as stinky as ever. I said, do not take that credit away from Daniel Bryan. Don't you dare.
When I saw Rowan, like, during the match, like, he did, like, the throat slit thing, and he went for a body slam. I thought, this guy's, there's no hope. There's no hope. Like, what in your head thinks anyone is going to go, no, don't! Like, you know, anyone's going to react other than, well, he'll just get back up. You know, that's what you do. He's just, he knows four moves, and he's forgotten two of them. So, I don't know. But that match was great.
They can't decide which of their four big men do the running big splash, so they just have one of them do it every week, and then another one, and then another one.
That's right, so they all do it.
Yeah, but never on the same show. Not like when, like, we had four people doing the spear in the same night.
Yeah, nobody do the spear aside from Roman Reigns. Like, that should be the rule.
They took that away from Caitlyn quick.
Well, good. What I actually wanted...
Fucking kills people.
What I wanted is I wanted them to do a angle with a budding romance between them over their love of the spear.
Nice.
And that's what would break the Shield apart, is love.
Do you think they're going to do a triple threat, the Shield, against each other at Mania, where Roman Reigns emerges as big baby face, Dean Ambrose is cowering heel, and Seth is like, I don't know.
No, I'm pretty certain they're going to do Shield versus Wyatt's at Mania.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think that'll be the last stand for the Shield, and then they'll dissolve on Raw the next night or something, and then Roman Reigns will go on to be the next big star.
Yeah, he is really good. Like, at first, I didn't want him to outshine the other two, but he is legit good.
So. I mean, you can tell even from, like, Raw the next night, like during their 6-man tag, like the camera was all over Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
it's very clear that he's the guy.
Yeah. I just like when he tagged in against Big Show on Monday. It was like he didn't win the confrontation, but just people were like, yeah, fight him.
It's kind of funny because he's not as big as some of the big guys.
No, but he's so intense. Like,
yeah, people want to see the confrontations, and they also want to see – they like seeing the Shield's big guy kind of out-muscled and outgunned, because I remember he tagged in against somebody else. I think it was Langston, Biggie Langston. And even the crowd was like, oh, you know, like kind of had that reaction as these two big guys were squaring off. And I thought that's something they should expound upon in the future, because that's a big future matchup for them. Those are two guys that should be a couple years down the road should be wrestling for important championships.
Right. Like when they had Raw and they had a Big Show start off with, I think, Ambrose, and then they had Rollins tag in. And my friend was like, I don't understand why they didn't have him start off with Reigns. And then Reigns tagged in last, and the crowd was like, oh, shit. I was like, that's why.
Yeah.
That reaction is exactly why.
Yep.
God. Yep. He's going to be so much fun in the Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah. Do you remember when he obliterated Dolph Ziggler when he was going for a Stinger Splash?
Yes. Oh, God.
Greatest spear of all time.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like WWE every year in January puts out like a Best of Raw and SmackDown for the previous year. The Best of Raw SmackDown 2013 is just going to be like Shield matches galore, and I'm so okay with this.
And then they'll release a Shield compilation that will be identical to the Best of 2013.
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Again, totally okay with this.
Yeah, like go them. Like they've done the NXT indie signing dream. Like, they stepped in from day one, they've been main event, and they have kept their spot for a whole year more. And like, you know it's coming to an end in the next few months, but I'm impressed they kept with it for at least a year.
I know, yeah, it's been awesome, and they haven't had their momentum derailed a ton. Like, yeah. I thought pairing them with Triple H and stuff was going to be awful, and it really didn't hurt them in any measurable way. So, hey, good on.
They still just go out there and kick ass.
Yeah, they got away from that pretty quickly, and I was like, all right, cool. This is everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of NXT, do we think the American Wolves are heading south?
No.
Nah.
No.
I think they job to some people on NXT, and maybe Eddie gets a look, but I don't think Davey ever had a chance.
I think that there is a... I think we might start seeing a divide between guys that choose who are going to be the future wrestlers and guys that know talent when they see it. I think that they're bringing in the American Wolves first and foremost because they're going to make whoever they're facing look good. I think they're... That's the reason you bring in quality opponents like that and smaller guys as well. Because it, you know, it lets your guys look dominant, and, you know, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to sell for them at all. You don't have to do anything for them. I think they're just sort of very strong enhancement talent.
Yeah.
As silly as that sounds.
And there is value to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely there is. Yeah. I mean, listen, say what you will about three-man band. They do what a lot of groups in that, or a lot of people in that position can't do, it's fun to watch them get beat up. It really is.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see them get – especially, I thought Heath Slater, as soon as the Nexus ended, I thought, I'm never going to see him again.
Yeah. He's actually been pretty funny as this.
He's not only has he had the best – I remember when Punk said it, when they were like, if you could trade positions with anyone in the company right now, who would you trade with? And he said Heath Slater, which was half joking – but at the time, all these legends would show up and beat the snot out of him. And I remember it wasn't until the APA came out and Bradshaw just took his head off with the clothesline. There's two kinds of clotheslines. There's the Stan Hansen kind where he tries to put your head in the front row. He tries to not like going up, like kind of swinging up, where he tries to knock it off your head and like give somebody a souvenir. And then there's the JBL kind where he's trying to like smother you as close to hell as he can. And that's what he did. He just walloped him. And everybody was talking about that clothesline. And that's how you knew that dude's going to have a future, even if it's losing every match. If he keeps, you know, looking good in defeat like that, that has value. And he's super good at that.
Yeah, if you're ever bored, there's a WWE does this thing where it's like 30-second Fury on YouTube where they just put a bunch of finishers in like a compilation. Yeah. Go watch JBL's Clothesline from Hell compilation and have yourself a laugh. Yeah. It's awesome.
The APA was so fun.
They really were. Like, very underrated part of the Attitude.
They just floated around and like because you had all these other teams. Like, they were so good.
And their gimmick was so great because, like, they could just use it for, like a one-time use thing and have it make sense. And it was awesome.
That's why I don't think they got tag pushes is because you'd be left over and you'd be like, we haven't used the APA and, like, Kane's not doing a thing. They're like, well, let's do a thing with the APA and Kane. Like, they always – those segments, they could always do something with them in those backstage-type things. So they were kind of always out of those. I think they only held the tag titles once, maybe twice. But I think it was only once, and they probably lost it back to Edge and Christian. So.
Yeah, they I feel like it was maybe twice, because I think they held it in the summer of 99, and then I think maybe like a little bit in 2000 around when like the Right to Censor won them. I don't remember exactly. But I mean, the cool thing was like they didn't really have allegiances to heels or faces, so it made sense to be like, look, we're going to do what we're going to do if someone pays us. And that's why like they could do a one night storyline thing with those guys and just be like, they got paid off and it made complete and total sense. And you could revert back to normal the next week because they didn't get paid.
They killed everyone in the hardcore battle royal and then like put Crash Holly on top or whoever. It was Kai-N-Tai.
Yeah. Or like,
Kai-N-Tai's check bounced. So they beat the hell out of Kai-N-Tai a week later.
Or like when Jericho, quote unquote, won the WWF title for the first time in 2000, they had the APA out there to make sure DX didn't interfere. And I was like, this is great and it makes sense and it's awesome and it all works out. And then things can just go back. You don't have to retcon anything. It was glorious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked it up. As the Acolytes, they won them twice, like in the pre Edge and Christian days. But as the APA, excuse me, it was only the one time, and it was right around the WCW that like the what's it called? Where they bought them out.
They lost the belts to
DDP and Canyon.
Oh God, that's right, they did.
Yeah.
And then DDP and
they
Canyon.
They had that match against Jindrak and O'Hare or something. Dragon Palumbo.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
They beat him. Yeah. You're right.
I think that was at the Evasion pay per view, and then
was a really good pay per view. I thought
it was one. It's one of the highest purchased pay per views, I believe.
I just thought it was really fun. Like
it was.
It was just like 14 matches or something stupid.
I also love the thing where like Mick Foley did the special guest referee for Hebner versus Nick Patrick, because then he also got to be the referee for like the Bra and Panties tag match.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the deal. And that Jeff Hardy RVD match is super fun. That 10-man super fun. But yeah, I remember I think like DDP and Canyon had that cage match with the Brothers of Destruction at SummerSlam, and I don't really remember anything about that match, but I'm sure it wasn't great.
No.
Remember Chronic versus the Brothers of Destruction?
And they wanted Chronic to be like the guys.
Mm-hmm. And then like Poor Steven Richards.
It's about when Spanky came in, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I just have vivid memories of Chronic, and then at some point Spanky appeared, and I was like, who the fuck is Spanky? Because I'd never watched indie wrestling.
I don't... Speaking of Spanky, because I'm now remembering the time... I'm remembering a time when Spanky was streaking on SmackDown. Oh, yeah. I cannot remember a time in wrestling where I was more disappointed that Sean O'Hare not working out.
Well, Damian Sandow's basically working that gimmick now.
Sort of. I mean, Sean O'Hare was sort of like that... Like, you know, the trust me, you know, kind of guy. Like, I feel like there was more to him than what Sandow's doing. Sandow's just, like, kind of the intellectual.
Right.
O'Hare's sort of like that motivational speaker, like, kind of like the devil on your shoulder is kind of what I saw him as.
Right. He felt like eventually he was going to, like, invite you to this farm and you'd never see that wrestler again.
Right. But then they were just like, why don't you be Roddy Piper's muscle? And why don't you wrestle Rikishi on pay-per-view? And I was like, why? What happened?
SmackDown, yo.
Yep. And then Mr. America and Zach Gowen's leg, and that was the whole thing.
That's when I stopped watching wrestling for 1 year.
Really?
Mm.
That's what did it for you?
Not that specifically, just I remember not... I remember hearing about... Yeah, I got Hogan in a mask, but everyone knows it's Hogan. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That was the same around the same time, excuse me, that I stopped paying attention as much.
Yeah,
because it was just such a noticeable 20. Drop in quality.
But at the same time, you were also having, like, you know, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit were still Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. And, like, Rhino and Tajiri were having good matches, and Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar were having good matches.
Yeah, I heard about them all, but...
Yeah, no, the tag scene, actually, there was some good stuff there, some fresh stuff, because it had just been years of Dudley's, Hardy's, and Edge and Christian. Literally just trading it constantly. Every once in a while, like, top guys would take it. Somebody had it for, like, a short amount of time. The Brothers of Destruction would come in.
I remember, like
the Rock,
honestly,
and Chris,
like,
Jericho.
Like, Vengeance 2003, I think, is, like, a super good, like, pay-per-view. That was all, like, the SmackDown brand during that summer. And I think it was maybe the opening match was a tag title match. It was Haas and Benjamin against Kidman and Mysterio. And that was really good.
Never seen it.
Because, like, hey, that was when the world's greatest tag team was relevant and fun.
Yeah.
Unlike Ring of Honor.
Drummer, Drummer, they had that Los Guerreros versus, what was it, Mysterio and Edge versus Benoit and Angle, that kind of feud.
Yes. Oh, God. When there was the SmackDown 6. It's like the best period ever. When Heyman was booking SmackDown.
Yeah, super fucking.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, if people have not seen the tournament finals for the SmackDown tag belts between Edge and Mysterio versus Benoit and Angle, like, Jesus Christ, people.
Fuck, that was good.
Yeah, SmackDown was the bomb for a really long time.
I remember it was a source of pride for those guys, too.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because Cole, you know, was still in, you know, Jim Ross's shadow. I mean, not that he will always be there. But in this case, he had that to hang his hat on. And they were really proud of it. You could hear their voices. They were saying, this is the best show on television. This is the best wrestling show on television. This isn't any B show.
And it was at the time when, like, you could tell, like, since Triple H was on Raw, they were really trying to make, like, Raw, like, the show. And SmackDown was just kind of there. But then SmackDown just was so much better in every way than Raw every week. Because this is the time when Raw was having, like, the hot lesbian action, Katie Vick and all that crap was going on that I just hated. And then SmackDown just killed it in the ring.
He had, like, Batista talking about how he took pride in being the B show, but being better than the A show.
Yeah.
The Deacon Batista.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened.
So, have you guys seen the poster to the new... I've never seen Amazing Spider-Man.
You have?
So, I don't know. I had not seen it. It just... It seemed silly. I didn't really have any interest. But now that Amazing Spider-Man 2 is coming out, I'll eventually see it. But they released this, like, three-part poster, and they show Electro and Rhino and what appears to be Green Goblin. This is just some silliness. I don't even know how to convey how strange this is. I can't even make heads or tails of Rhino in this. It's so confusing.
I don't know. I mean, that 90s cartoon of Spider-Man was super popular, and, like, the Sinister Six are his... I don't know, when I think of famous Marvel villains, my childhood thinks of all this, you know, the Sinister Six and all of that, and I guess they're trying to do a film version of it, but it probably isn't ideal.
No, probably not, but it's that's the thing, is that you can still... His rogues gallery is so vast, you can find interesting things to do, and you don't have to resort to Rhino. They haven't done Kraven, they haven't done Mysterio. I mean, there's stuff to do.
Whoa, hold on. Mysterio, Rhino, I think you're getting confused, Justin. We're on to comic book talk now.
All right, you. No, we're back to circa 2003.
It's not Kraven.
What
it's
about
not
me?
Kraven, it's Leo Kruger. God.
What about me? What about Kraven?
Oh.
That was funnier than you expected it to be. Because you're expecting it not to be funny at all.
When I first heard it, I was like, where is he going with this? This is not gonna be good.
Damn it.
Had to be done.
So we got three here. We have Green Goblin for some reason, Electro, and Rhino. What three do we add to it? Vulture for some reason? Ugh. Is the first one worth seeing?
Is it?
Wow. Okay.
Here's what I expect. Like, the villain's not super strong, but I think the story itself of, like, the origin story and all that stuff is really good.
But I know that story,
It's like way better acted than the first one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the casting, like, and stuff is a trillion times better than the other Spider-Man films.
And, like, the. The romance between Peter and Gwen is, like, genuinely charming and stuff.
Okay.
It's just the villain. Yeah, the villain sucks, and you could probably just splice out the whole last half hour, but...
But Dennis Leary, just... in and of itself, makes it worth a watch.
Okay.
Yeah, true. Cool. He's really funny, yeah. But it's just, like, he fights the lizards, and then they stop it for a reason, for no real reason, and then they fight again, and then he wins.
Well, there you go.
If they could have found a way to merge the second from last fight with the last fight somehow into just one scene and ended it a bit
sooner? Who's Hydro Man? I want Hydro Man.
Like, you already gave us your pitch for Aquaman in a movie.
I did. I forgot about that.
Oh, that was just for me, wasn't it? Okay, yeah, that was our private Skype session.
It may have been.
Yeah.
Sounds erotic.
It really was, man.
You want to hear what I do with Aquaman?
Does it involve the Aqualad?
No. Game of Thrones in the ocean.
Tell me about your unused treatment for an Aquaman movie.
Game of Throtion?
That's it. That's really what I do. It was really just because I had, like, a dream where there's just this, like, he's sitting at this big table and everyone's like, what are you going to do? And it's just, like, people, like, dumping oil and, like, just, like, some drunk guy whizzing in the ocean. And he's just, like, grabs his trident and there's just, like, it's like in, like, an oil rig. And there's, like, this rush of motion. And then every crazy sea creature, like the Kraken, comes up. And, like Aquaman just takes a step on land and looks at some guy that's just like, what the fuck is happening? And looks at him and goes, you've been warned. And just, like, takes a step back and everything just, like, goes back in. And that's like the end of it. I built a whole premise on that scene alone. And it's pretty much just Game of Thrones in the ocean. Game of Throtion.
There you go. Coming to a theater near you. Remember the Basham brothers?
Remember the Dicks?
Sadly, yes.
Punk mentioned them on Raw last week.
He did.
Pipe Bomb 2.0.
Nobody's talking about that. They're just talking about Colt Cabana and his many aliases.
Mm.
By the way, is that show Alias any good? The Jennifer Garner show? I've heard good things.
No.
No.
Well, okay.
No, stick with...
Wait a minute, but because there are differing opinions, let me set up a yes or no question that will solve this for you. Do you think, given the terrible, no good, very bad way Lost ended, that it was still worth the ride?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was a great ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're both wrong. Alias is a less interesting ending and a less interesting ride. Podcast. You have what, where?
We did a podcast. We did Top 5 Records where we argued for 30 minutes about whether it was worth the ride.
It is not.
It is.
It is. It absolutely is.
It 100% is.
It is. It's in no way worth the horribleness that you put people through. It depends on how quickly you watch it. If you can get it over with in a week, if you can condense it so that the disappointment doesn't drag out into your life and you're not like, boy, I can't wait till this question gets answered. If you can find out the next day that you're never going to get an answer, and any answer you get is going to be stupid and made up on the spot because they felt like they had to before the series ended, then yeah, you'll be fine. But if you're a normal person that has to go about their lives and can only watch like an episode a day, you know, and it spaces out with some sense of buildup, and when you get to that moment, it's just a turd sandwich, then yeah, it's just a series of sadness. And you're like, what did I do?
I do think Brad still wants to have a podcast with you about this, so we'll have to make that happen. We might have to have a 4DT at some point.
And I'll tell you this right now.
No,
I'm not going to refresh my memory by watching it again. I will not refresh my memory because I'm not going to subject myself to that show again. I won't do it.
It's going
to
be 3DT versus 1DR. One dude ranting.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna present these arguments, and then Justin's just.
Matt, your internet is the worst. You just go away at the beginning of every sentence you say.
I know.
What's up with that?
I know. I don't know.
Maybe we should.
Ironically enough, it might be the microphone.
Oh, joy.
It can't handle this incredible audio quality.
Why is your life so horrible?
My life's pretty good.
Well, clearly it's not.
I've got...
I can't even hear your rebuttal. That's how terrible
your
life
again.
Is.
I start to talk and then I hear... I start to talk and then I hear it go silent and I go, well, I better just stop talking. Like, I could just... For a while, I continue to talk, and I went, oh, no, they can't hear me. I'm just talking in a room now.
Life is so sad.
That's when it really does get sad.
Should we just end?
When you're defending your life to no one.
Well, is there any other topics we need to discuss?
Yeah, loads, but what's the point now?
Are there really loads of topics?
Nah.
I didn't think so. Plus, I'm sure Justin's getting hungry.
No, I'm eating right now as we talk.
No, of course you are. It's not a podcast unless you're not stuffing your face.
It's chicken and rice, and it's delicious.
I did it first, and Kevin was just discussing if he could eat cake or not.
And no, there was no discussion. I said I can't.
Nah, I heard you say you can't, but I heard the regret in your voice. That's a discussion.
So much regret. The cake is a lie.
I'm sad I missed that.
I do not regret this, but I both rue and lament it.
I picture it as Kevin is going, hey, can I eat cake on the show? And Matt's like, absolutely not. And you're like, all right. And then I immediately come in. I'm like, what's up? Everything's fine, I guess.
The conversation wasn't that interesting. I was like, because I got home and I was really hungry, like didn't have enough time to like, you know, properly make something for the show. And I don't really have any like good snack food for a podcast. And so I was like the only thing I could find that was like cake, huh? And then I was like, no, because I need like a fork and I have to hold my microphone, and it would be a mess, and I would just have cake all over my bed sheets. This just wouldn't work out.
Sounds sexy.
Mm. It's the opposite of sexy.
Nothing sexier than bed cake.
Except for sky cake. That was a Patton Oswalt reference.
Yes, it is. Hey, how far are you in Adventure Time?
A season.
Get more seasons into Adventure Time.
Well, what's the point if we're going to podcast about them?
Because it's amazing.
But I'm watching The Wire and old Chikara, and it's making me really happy right now.
You replace Chikara, old Chikara, with newer Adventure Time.
But old Chikara is so good.
You will not miss a beat, I promise you.
But I don't want to. Okay, I want to, but I don't want to. I don't want to have to choose.
We're going to talk about this like months from now when you finally caught up. You're going to be like, what an idiot I was while you're eating cake on a podcast that we're doing. Because Matt won't be there to do the Adventure Time podcast. So you can eat cake as freely as you want. And we talk about how amazing things are. We'll be talking about the character, Cake, that you haven't met yet in Adventure Time. Why do you eat cake? It'll be marvelous.
Well, hopefully your internet doesn't.
Can I just say, I didn't stop Kevin from eating cake.
No, you can't because you got out again.
I didn't stop Kevin from eating the cake.
That's true.
Fuck you!
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
That's
Justin,
not the way I heard the story.
You weren't listening.
And it's certainly not the way I'll repeat the story.
Yeah. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Exactly. Or cake.
Never let the truth get in the way of cake. Yes. Yeah, Brad, I think, is already resigned to the fact that Adventure Time podcast will never happen.
Why? There was that one time, and it was a freak thing where my internet went out.
Yeah, and guess what? We haven't done it since.
Did you do that one time?
No.
Oh.
We need you. You're an important piece of the puzzle.
Oh.
I'll talk to Brad about it, but he might have already given up. That's how Brad does things. He's a...
I was going to say... If he loses an ounce of momentum, it all goes.
Yeah, it's a live in the moment sort of thing like that. He'll never get caught up on Dragon Gate. It's just a fact.
That's why I'm impressed with Burger Weekly, I gotta say. Because I've always known him as a guy that really starts stuff with vigor and then gives up as soon as there's any, even before he hits the roadblock. If he sees one coming, he'll veer off.
He's discussed making a Tumblr of his failed projects, but I said your failed project Tumblr will be just another failed project.
Garoon's Graves.
I like it. There's a lot of them. God, there's a lot of them.
But I see Burger Weekly posts, you know, fairly consistently, so he's stuck with that.
I don't know if he can. I don't know if he monetizes that, but I do know that he gets like super fancy New York dinners for free sometimes.
Well, that's pretty neat.
I think that's the most worthwhile venture he has. Like could potentially turn into something worthwhile. Where I don't think Dragon Gate is possible.
Well,
but I do think we need to do a cool kids table before Final Gate.
For sure. We have to complain about what Final Gate could have been and what it's definitely looking like it's going to be.
Are they doing Hulk versus Yoshino?
Yes, they are.
Who gives a flying fuck about that match?
I don't know. Hulk is the
Nobody
biggest
cares. Loser.
Hulk is the biggest loser in the history of wrestling. And Yeah,
Brooklyn Brawler, eat your heart out.
Hang on, I gotta bring it up because I'm gonna look up the sheer number of how many they are. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think it's 7 times that he's lost a Dreamgate title match.
So he's the Roderick Strong of Dragon Gate.
Yeah, for
except for he'll probably never be champion.
Maybe it's less than I thought. I don't know. Shoot. But that's the thing. He'll never hold the belt. He's lost that like title matches more times than anyone who's never held the belt. And he's going to lose another one. It's ridiculous. He's a loser. I hate him.
How did he earn this title shot?
In the bastardized version of the Key Hunting 4-way. He won the Key Hunting 3-way.
Oh. Whatever.
Yeah. That's exactly right. There are a million things they could have done there, but I forget. Did one of us predict that it would be Hulk in that match?
No.
I said Shima.
I said Tozawa. And I think Brad said TT. T-Hawk, whoever.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And that apparently
we ended up getting one.
But... Yeah, that match apparently was very good. I'm not caught up, so I don't know.
That's true. I'm like right. I'm frozen at that point. So I always like to have kind of a backlog just in case.
And yeah, I think I'm going to have to just start catching up because waiting for Brad is a fool's errand.
What are you waiting for Brad for?
I like having his as a guide. So I can
be like,
so I can be like, okay, I can skip this 40 minutes of like stuff and know I'm not missing anything. Like if it's all like promos or whatever. But I think I can do that anyways without it.
It's true. I watched the whole thing. I just kind of buzzed through stuff. I don't know. I even like the crappy matches because you get to see guys.
I would not skip matches, but I like to be able to skip like, oh, I know there's going to be like 20 minutes of promos between these two matches.
Right, right. Exactly.
And, like, I don't speak Japanese, so that's worthless. But I do would like to know what they're saying. But I guess I can just look at, like, Jay's reports. I watched World Without Brad's blog, so I think I might just... I'm going to try to watch, like, one Infinity a week. I think I can manage that. And then I'll be caught up by May of next year.
Whoa.